All right, we're back with another guest, Ken Thompson. How you doing, bud? Tell us who you are and what you do, bud.
Yeah, so my name's Ken Thompson. I'm an Azure Technical Specialist, and I look after open source software for Australia and New Zealand.
So what is an Azure Technical Specialist?
Well, so I'm in the Global Black Belt team. So
you guys are like ninjas and stuff?
Definitely nice. Like ninjas. Nice. Like ninja cats.
Ninja cats, of course.
So we look after like the premium workloads on Azure, so emerging technologies, so big data, Internet of Things, open source.
And so you are primarily involved with open source?
Yeah, and I go kind of across Azure all up, mostly focused on cloud infrastructure, so virtual machines, containers, workloads like that, but also cover app service, HD Insights to an extent.
So tell us about OSS and Azure. Is that an important thing to Microsoft? And tell us why.
Massively important, and the reason it's massively important is because it's really important to our customers. Mm-hmm. So I think at the moment, over 1 in 3 VMs are Linux-based. We're seeing the majority of new deployments are Linux-based as well, so that's definitely a continuing trend in Azure, and we have really great support for Linux as first-class citizen.
Awesome. So for this particular session, you have something to talk about specifically. What are you going to talk about today?
Yeah, so I wanted to show like some of the native integration that we're doing kind of across the board, so both in Azure and also in Visual Studio Code and a bunch of different services in Azure that you can kind of stitch together to do open source container CI/CD pipelines. So pretty popular at the moment,
right.
Docker and containers and building continuous integration pipelines. And you can come and you can use Visual Studio Team services, that's fine, but if you're used to using things like Jenkins and Docker and Linux, we have really great support for those systems too.
So you mentioned containers. For those that don't know about containers, what is a container? Is it like a VM? Is it not quite a VM? Is it like a real machine? Tell us about that.
So it's not quite a VM. So in a virtual machine, we virtualize our operating system, and then we have our application dependencies and our actual application code. In a container, we're not virtualizing the operating system. We're just virtualizing our application and our application code, and then we share the operating system between containers, but we still have logical security and resource separation through technologies in either Linux kernel or Windows kernel, depending where you're running those containers.
So for containers, is it only something that you can do in Linux? Can you do Windows containers?
You can do it in Windows now. So you can do Windows containers since we released Windows Server 2016. You can do Windows containers, and then you can do Linux containers on Linux. Because they share the host kernel, you can't run Windows containers on Linux OS or vice versa.
I see.
But the cool thing is that we're using the Docker runtime and Docker format in Windows, so despite them in different systems, you can use the same tooling, the same orchestration, the same registries to manage both platforms.
If you're on a Windows machine, does that mean you can't do Linux-based containers? Or can you create a VM and then do the containers in there? How does that work?
Yeah, great question. So you definitely can develop Linux containers on Windows, and that's I'm going to show some
Did you see that? I laid it up for him to. Okay, so spike it.
Yeah.
Spike it, Ken.
Right.
Tell us about that.
So, I guess for starters, we've got Docker on Windows. So basically, you install Docker on Windows, and it'll use Hyper-V to run a Linux virtual machine. And then it's basically piping all your commands and your runtime through that virtual machine so you can develop and test Linux containers on Windows.
Which is super nice, because I remember a time when Docker did not use Hyper-V, it used something else. And I had to install it, I had to turn this other thing off, and then I had to do this thing, but now it's super nice to do, really easy to install.
Exactly.
So we talked about containers. What is Docker? Is Docker like software to make containers?
Yeah, so Docker's a couple of things. There's Docker Inc., which is the company that started the Docker project, and then what's usually referenced is the Docker container format, so it's a specific way of packaging a container, and also the Docker runtime engine that you use to execute that. So definitely by far the most popular container ecosystem out there. Docker Inc. themselves have got some great Docker native products available that are available on Azure, and they're very focused on making it easy for developers and very developer-friendly.
All right. Well, let's do this. So your computer fell asleep a little bit, so we'll wait till we get it back. Let's go into a demo. Show me how easy this is and why I should be using it. Hopefully you can turn your screen around closer to me so I can see it.
All right.
There we go.
Cool. So we'll cover a couple of things first. So this is the Azure Marketplace. So on here you can get a bunch of container offerings. We've got Azure Container Registry, private Docker registry, because you don't want to be pushing your enterprise applications up to Docker Hub for the world to consume.
So let me back up, because I have 1,000 questions, and Ken, you're going to help me, hopefully.
Good.
We went from Docker, which I understood to be something that I do on my machine when I'm testing, to now stuff that's happening on Azure. So what is this? What are these services on Azure? What do they do, and why do I need to use them?
Sure. So a container registry, you're going to build a Docker image, and then you need to push it to a registry. It's an artifact repository for containers.
Ah, I see. Now, is that container, is it like a virtual container where it has, these are the base things that we have, and then we use that to build other containers?
So you can use that. We'll have a look at that. You'll have base images and also compiled images up there, and then when you want to run them on servers, they're going to pull it from that registry or that artifact repository.
I see. So effectively, you're not building like a whole container every time. You're saying, here's my base container, and then here's the application. So for example, if you're running Ruby on Rails, you might have one with Ruby already installed, and then you're just saying, okay, now here's my application that goes on top of that.
Yeah, exactly.
And it makes a new thing.
So to make it clear for the folks, if we cut back to the screen, there we go. This is what you're referring to. This is Docker files. This is how we build our Docker application, and we say, you know, this one is a node application, so we want to take this base image developed by Docker, and we want to install some dependencies. We're going to put our code in here. We're going to expose the port, and then we're going to tell Docker, when you run this container, this is the command you need to execute my application.
I see.
So this makes it really nice for developers, because they can control their dependencies, so there's no discrepancy between ops around, you know, I'm on PHP version 5.3, not 5.4, and you didn't install the right dependencies. So they have control of all that. They can package it with their app. And likewise for the operators, whether they're getting apps from the Node team or the Java team or the .NET team, they all come in the same format. The commands to start the application are part of the container itself, so it makes it super easy for them to manage, you know, fully heterogeneous applications.
And so that's what the registry is. It's going to have a set of images that you've made that
this is going to build an image for us, and then we're going to have to push it up to the registry so we can run it in our servers.
Okay, so maybe I'm getting confused. I'm thinking of a registry as a set of base images.
So it has both. So
So
this node, if we were pushing to Docker Hub, this node image that lives in Docker Hub, and then I would build this image, and I would push this up as my node app or something else, and it will refer, it will build a full image including that node base.
So you said Docker Hub and you said registry. Are those the same things?
Yes. So Docker Hub is a public registry.
Okay. Okay.
And what Azure Container Registry is a private registry. So Docker Hub is public, so you don't want to push your most intimate enterprise applications up for the world to consume.
Oh,
you
want
to have a private, secured registry that you can use, and we give you a really simple, like platform as a service style registry that you can really easily spin up.
So I'm spitballing here, and let's pretend that this is our super important node app.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden it's super overloaded. There's going to be some other system that's going to go to our private registry and say, I need another one of those.
Yeah. You can spin up the container. So maybe we'll build the app.
Okay, let's do it.
And we'll say we can see all that.
Yeah, I'm getting ahead of you because I have thousands of questions about it.
So I just want to touch on the marketplace. We've got heaps of Docker solutions. In there, Container Service is one. So Container Service is a way to deploy Docker Swarm, Kubernetes, or Mesosphere DCOS. They're like the three most popular Docker orchestration frameworks. So when you want to run a Docker platform across multiple hosts, you need to do things like service discovery and storage and networking. And that's what these platforms look after.
Do they look after the container health as well?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So those are like the operating systems that pull containers out of registries, shut things down, start things up, make sure they're all networked properly. Yep. That's what the container service is. And you can choose from, you said, DCOS, Mesosphere, and Kubernetes.
DCOS is Biomesosphere, DCOS, Kubernetes, and Docker Swarm.
Got it.
And they're all fully open source, so it's the exact same stack that you can run on-premise or another public cloud. So lots of options there. So I've already got a, So I've got a container registry here for Ignite. We've got our private registry up on Azure. I've also got a Kubernetes cluster, which I've deployed from Azure Container Service.
So go back. What did you set up here? Is this a container in, on Azure?
This one right here. This is Azure Container Registry.
Oh, okay. So that has all of the container images that you built. Okay, got it.
So that's my where I'm going to put my images.
And this would be the OS for all of the...
Yeah, and this is where I'm going to run my applications.
Perfect.
And then I've also stood up Jenkins, which is very popular.
It's like a DevOps
source,
pipeline.
Yeah, DevOps pipeline tool. And so we can go into my application in VS Code. Just wanted to talk about code as well. We've got a lot of integration for... Well, firstly, VS Code can run on Mac, Linux, and Windows.
It's
open source itself. It's awesome. And it's got a lot of integrations into great open source tooling. So let's update. We're going to vote on beer and pizza. So we're going to build a voting app.
Okay.
So beer versus pizza, which is more important? And
by the way, if you have questions as he's doing this stuff, please make sure to submit them because I want to ask. I feel like I'm hogging him right now. So if you have any questions, feel free to submit them.
All right. So I'll update this. This is our voting page. And we've also got a...
It's like something else in Python, right?
Results page. Yeah. So I'll just put this in, and then I'll show you what the application is that we're building. So I'm going to save this. I'm going to quickly cut to... Let's have a look at this. This is what I'm putting together now.
Okay.
All right. It's loading.
No, so you are on a...
There we go. It's loading. Yeah. Cool. All right. So this is what we're doing. We're in Visual Studio Code. I'm modifying my application. The application here is a voting application. So if you're familiar with the Docker voting app, that's what we're building. That's what we're changing.
Okay.
And it is a... It's microservice architecture. We've got five different services. They're all in different languages. So we've got a voting service in Python. We've got a Redis in-memory cache. We've got .NET Core, which is a worker service.
Uh-huh.
We're running Postgres as our database. And then we've got a Node.js results service.
So these are five different containers that together make this application.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, cool.
So microservice stack just demonstrates the power of using Docker as a packaging format and runtime. Because we build all these containers in different frameworks and languages, but the way that we deploy and manage them is all the same. So really cool. So we're going to push it into, we've got some integration into Jenkins, so we're going to push it into GitHub. Jenkins is going to have a look at GitHub and see that we've pushed a change. It's going to build it. It's going to push it out to Azure Container Registry that we saw. And then that's going to deploy my app to my Kubernetes cluster.
Okay.
And then we're going to have a look at the app, and then if we've got time, we'll also have a look at Operations Management Suite because important part of DevOps is getting feedback for your applications. And in Operations Management Suite, we've got Docker native tooling to pull monitoring and log data.
All right, let's do it because I feel like this is a really important demo.
All right, so we.
One second while we get your screen back. There we go.
All right, so cool thing in code. We've got native integration into Git, so I can say, this is my beer and pizza changes, vital changes to my application. I'm going to push that, and then I can run a Git push just within VS Code.
Of course.
We've got Git integration. Could also jump down into my terminal here if I wanted. While we're here, we've also got a Docker extension, which can create Docker files for you. So we had to look at one earlier. It'll build them for you. We can run the Azure CLI natively, do a bunch of cool integrations into Docker. So that's going to push our changes up. So let's come back to our app. And we'll see here, we've caught Jenkins has seen a change in our code. So if we jump into that, this has checked out our latest changes. And I've built a pipeline that's building, it's getting excited and going down to the shell there. So it's doing parallel builds of those different containers.
And but there was five before, but there's only three that changed?
Right. So three I've got custom code in, and two are from Docker Hub, and they're just, so Redis Cache and the Postgres database. I didn't need to do any code changes.
Oh, because they're just
yeah,
basic.
I just want to run a cache, and I want to run a database.
Awesome.
Yeah, so I'm just making changes to my results app, my voting app, and the worker app. So that is also going to go out to my Kube cluster. So it's built my containers, and now it's going to go and deploy my application. So if we come back to our Kubernetes cluster, so this was the cluster before. There was nothing there, nothing up my Kubernetes sleeve. Touch wood, the demo gods are working with me, which they are. We can see now that we've got our five different container stacks.
Well, I'm glad you sacrificed the chicken before this so that the demo gods would be appeased.
Yeah.
Because this is a distributed system you just mm-hmm. pushed out.
Yeah. And we've also, because we're using things like Kubernetes or Swarm, they're declarative as well. So we can do things like here I've said, for my results app, I want four copies of that application. And it's going to go out and manage scaling. So we were talking about before, you know, how do you scale up applications? I can go in here and edit the YAML here. It's getting a bit, you know, deep in the code.
I'm okay with code. We're good.
But we can come in here.
There's
and
the replicas, right? Is that
I
what you're looking for?
I think it's that one. Sometimes I change the wrong one. Because sometimes there's a definition in the deployment, there's a definition elsewhere that doesn't actually make the change. But let's go with that.
Oh, it looks like four there now.
So now it's got six. And they're pretty quick to spin up, so they might have already spun up. Which they have. So really easy to scale up, scale down for load. And nice because of the microservice architecture, we just scaled the result app then. So by itself, we didn't have need to scale each, you know, all those five components as like a monolith. We only need to scale the microservice that we need.
So can we see the actual app running?
Yeah. So let's go here. So one of the cool things about Kubernetes on Azure Container Service, as with the other orchestrators, is that we provide integration into Azure itself. So what Kubernetes has done, I specified for my result app that I wanted that load balance so I could scale it, mm-hmm. and I wanted to externalize it to the world. So I wanted to create a service that was accessible from the internet, and it's gone out to Azure, and it's created me a public IP in Azure, it's created me a load balancer in Azure,
Holy cow.
It's hooked that into my application natively. It didn't have to do anything, and it's all actually native Kubernetes stuff. So I didn't specify any Azure stuff, it's just the integration between Kubernetes and Azure. It's making
I
all that
see.
Happen.
And so now the public external endpoint is this IP address 40.
Yeah, so I could hit that, but I've added that into Azure DNS, because
okay.
we can do DNS
nice.
In Azure now. So. If we go to vote on Azure, so this was my previous app. Now we can see our new app. Uh-huh. So vote.onazure.io if you're watching and want to have a vote. Beer and pizza, tough choice.
I'll go pizza every
yeah,
time.
Yeah, pizza. So we'll vote for pizza. Now we'll go here. It's got our old old code in there, but you'll see there it's updating in real time.
And that's a different app. That was a Flask app that yep. was running in Python.
Yeah.
The voting app was a Node.js app running on Node.
Yeah.
And then you had three other VMs, one running Postgres, the other running Redis Cache, and what was
yep.
the other thing?
So Postgres, there was .NET Worker as well.
Okay.
So, yeah, so we've got someone else's voting online, which is great.
Fantastic, thank you.
And you'll see if I change my vote, you know, it's going to update real time. So that's going through when I put a vote in, that's going first to the cache, then the worker's picking it up, it's writing that to the database, then it's being displayed on this results app in the back end. And, you know, we're stringing together those five services simultaneously. And yeah,
so I feel like there's a lot of, like there was a lot of magic dust you sprinkled everywhere. I kind of want to know, like there had to be some painful work that you had to go through to get through it, or was there not that painful work? Is this something that I can do if I have an application that I want to set up this way?
This is definitely something you can do.
Okay,
and
even me. I mean,
yeah.
Okay. You're saying that even I can do this.
If you are here on Thursday, or if you're watching the sessions online, I've got a session on Thursday, which is hands-on Docker, Azure, and CI/CD pipeline, and I'll spend 60 minutes, and we're going to build this from scratch. So obviously I've got this environment stood up, but I'm going to show you how to go from nothing to building Azure Container Registry, Jenkins creating the pipelines, spinning up.
Oh, you're doing that in an hour. You're doing that in an hour.
In an hour. It's going to be fast.
This guy, seriously, that's amazing. Yeah. So I really like this. For those that may not be able to go to your session, or for those that watch it online, is there a place where they can go to see the code for this?
Yes. So let's go to github.com/me Ken Thompson.
Oh, they changed the
Yeah, they updated it to black. It's no longer blue. It's all
this is the first time I'm seeing this, people.
Okay. Black is the new black, apparently, on GitHub.
Yeah, apparently.
So, me Ken Thompson is my